Today on Older and Wiser.
It's illegal in 50 states, but today we'll find out what people are now saying about polygamy. You might be surprised.
Do you buckle up in the back seat of a cab? Today, what people do and don't do when they're paying for a ride.
Also, the surprising things people say about one of their favorite obsessions, mine too, cats.
Plus, what people love about paper towels. You're listening to Older and Wiser. Hey, folks, I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, joined as always by my good friend Susan Sikora in the San Francisco suburbs. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Bob.
Now, let me get this straight. You're up there in Marin County,
Sonoma.
Sonoma County, yes. Sort of a liberal, crazy, God knows what goes on up there kind of county. I'm sure they're...
we grow grapes.
Yeah, you grow grapes. Those people are probably pretty okay with polygamy, if I'm guessing, right?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to speak for a whole town, but you're right. This entire area of California is
open-minded. They'll consider just about anything.
Now, polygamy, I don't know. Well, I'm pretty liberal, but I'm not nuts about polygamy.
According to a new Gallup survey, more people than ever seem to be thinking that polygamy is okay with them. The number of people who think polygamy's okay has tripled since 2006. 17% of Americans now believe it's morally acceptable. What is your base feeling about having multiple wives?
Okay, that's my question. First of all, when we say polygamy, we mean one man and multiple wives?
Well, it could be the other way around. Why not one woman and multiple husbands? Would that change your opinion about polygamy if it was one way or the other?
Well, they'd all have to have really good bank accounts, and they'd have to have different skills around the house. Like if one was good at carpentry and one was good at fixing things, you know, whatever, plumbing, you know, that might be.
It could be a practical solution to a lot of problems.
But I think I'd probably just want one. I think one, you know, let's put it this way. You have to work at a relationship. Okay.
That's three times the work, right?
Yes.
Yeah, got it.
I mean, if you want to talk about duties around the house or sexual obligations, to be blunt, then fine. That might work out. That's like a chore list almost, okay?
Yeah.
But if you're talking about having a sustainable relationship that works, that grows, that matures, I mean, then you've got to work at that.
I guess polygamy began probably as a practical matter to populate a society, right? It does seem logical that if, you know, one man could fertilize multiple women, they could, you know, create more farmhands for the field in quick order.
And to pass down the farm in the family. But all that's probably changed.
The nature of this survey is really about people who feel that polygamy is morally acceptable.
I don't speak for the Catholic Church, but I can tell you, they'd say, no, thank you.
Yeah.
They don't even want you to get divorced and get remarried.
So Catholics are not signing up for polygamy, that's for sure. We know
that. No, that's true. I wonder if it's mentally acceptable.
There is going to be a lot of jealousy and stuff involved. This survey really references the TLC television series, the reality show Sister Wives, in which they follow a Mormon family, a man who has multiple wives,
yes,
in their day-to-day lives. And apparently it was a very popular show and a lot of people enjoyed it. And it's possible that could have changed some minds if we see their lives unfolding in a sort of a normal way. It's not some weird sexual thing.
I saw that. I think I saw one or two episodes in 2010, but I didn't like the dresses.
I didn't like the dresses.
I'm not wearing those
the long
dresses.
I think it would be nice. I think it would be either be a community of people to kind of share the wealth and share the responsibilities. It wouldn't be my choice, but I do think that I have no right to say it wouldn't work for somebody else. Let them do what they want to do.
It might. I find it a little odd because I just think the attention span would be difficult. You know, I would be like, you know, if I had three husbands and I talked to the first one and then the second one I could barely hang, and then I'd be going, you know, by the time the third one would come and say, let's sit down and talk about your day, now what do you want?
Okay. I love that. All right. Let's move on to our next survey. This one from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety just saw this come out the other day.
57% of people who get in taxis buckle up.
So only a little over half. Buckle up
not
when
your
you
own
get.
Half. Yeah.
I was just in New York last week before, and I get why that is a thing, because when you slide into the back seat of a cab, the ritual of putting your seatbelt on does seem excessive.
Usually it's a short trip. So if you're just going a couple of blocks, then
I'm just going to have to take it off again. So why should I?
Yeah, I'm almost there, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that's. And also, you have this false sense of protection from not only the seat in front of you, but sometimes there's even some kinds of a partition.
That was one of the things that made me start buckling up in the back seat of cabs, was because it occurred to me that if this guy stops short, my face is going to slam right into that glass. And do I want that? You know, I won't.
But I think a lot of people don't think about that.
Apparently, one thing people don't realize is that, and cab drivers don't realize, is that the passenger who is not buckled up in the back seat can slam into them and injure them as well.
I can't say to you that I ever went into, every time I went into a cab, I put the seatbelt on. Most times I probably did not. I'm trying to remember if I ever did.
But it's important.
I think what they ought to start with also is maybe as a matter of routine, asking people, please buckle up, and also putting putting a sign there.
Now, people do buckle up in the front seat. I get into the front seat of a cab, I don't move until I get the seatbelt on.
If I had a cab, my cab right now would be changed. I would at least have put some, you know, brightly colored sign that you couldn't miss.
Oh, if you had a cab, it would be the cutest little cab. You would have service. You'll have like a tea service for people, you know, water bottles. You'd have a place for them to plug their cell phones in.
My need to serve.
Okay. All right, let's move on to our next topic. One of your favorite things in the world. We're talking about cats.
Yes.
This is a survey by Fancy Feast, you know, the cat food people. And this survey was actually done in Australia, but I think in a way it kind of reflects the way people feel about cats in other parts of the world too. According to this survey, men spend the most money on their cats, and women are the most affectionate. 50% consider them like a child.
Yeah, cat kid. I call them cat kid.
Also, 17% of people feel they have a psychic connection with their cats. Do you ever think your cat is reading your mind, or you can read?
You know, I don't know. They also say sometimes animals are weird if they sense an earthquake's coming. I mean, I don't know about all this. I think your cat probably picks up on your behavior after a time. You know, when I come in, I always tell them I'm home, you know, that kind of thing. So,
okay.
I mean, I think.
Okay, let me ask you, how do you say it? Because do you talk in little cat voice? Do you use the cat voice to talk to your cat?
I say, Benson, mommy's home.
Like baby, it's more like a little bit of baby talk. 37% of those surveyed admit that they regularly meow, and they mimic feline noises in an attempt to communicate. You don't go meow, meow.
No, I think he's smart enough to know I'm not a cat. We look different.
Okay, here's where I draw the line with cat obsession. 10% of those surveyed say their cats have their own social media accounts. They have their own Facebook account, or they have their own Twitter account. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's stupid.
According to this survey, 9% of people had professional photographs taken of their cats.
Oh, Lord.
I draw the line. Can you imagine dragging your cat into Sears?
No.
Propping them up.
Nor could the cat.
Not at all. All right. Let's move on to our last survey of the day. But this company, Cintas Corporation, did a survey recently and determined that 7 in 10 people prefer paper towels over those blow dryers in public restrooms.
Does Cintas make paper towels?
I was trying to figure out what they made, because if they made paper towels, certainly the survey is suspect, isn't it?
Well, it at least has a point of view before they start.
Exactly.
Whether or not they got it out, I mean, you know, I think you have to be superhuman to put that aside. But
according to their possibly biased survey, 70% of people think that these towels paper towels dry your hands better and faster. The 52% say they give you something to open the restroom door with. I agree with that.
Yes, that's true.
You dry your hands off. You take the towel and you use it to touch the door handle.
Right.
Yeah. Also, air dryers are kind of bad. We've determined that they blow bacteria not only on your hands, but all over the room.
That's what I heard. I always thought that would be less because you're not touching the thing to wind. Although now they have the sensors for the paper towel, so you almost never wind anything down. You never wind the paper down. So that's gone away. So you don't have to touch anything. You have to be careful when you touch the faucets because those could be, you know, a problem too. So,
When they install the blow dryer for the first time, I'm sure it doesn't blow bacteria around. But as the years go by, junk builds up inside that blow dryer, just like inside your vacuum cleaner or your air conditioning vents or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Junk, dust, and debris from the room starts collecting in there. You're in a room that's, you know, rife with bacteria anyway. And it all starts being sucked into the intake valve
of this
blower. And then year after year, day after day, it's blowing the bacteria all over the hands and clothes of the people who are standing there. Doesn't make sense.
You've really thought this through. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I was in a restroom not too long ago. And it was actually in a hospital building with doctor's offices. I was accompanying my husband to an appointment. Mm-hmm. I went into the ladies' room, and they had a brand new state-of-the-art, it was actually a Dyson, and you put your hands through the middle of it, right?
Yeah, those are nice, right?
And they were nice, except here's the thing. For boomers, you're going to hate this because it blows the skin so hard that you can see all the excess skin where you've got more excess skin where before it was nice and firm and taut when you were 20. And now when you're 60, it's not. And I thought, oh my gosh, my hand looks like a little old lady's hand under this thing. Get it out of there.
Yeah, so, I've heard that complaint before. That you want to really see how old you are, stick your hands in one of those.
Absolutely.
It's odd because you stick them, instead of just underneath the blower, you stick them down in a slot. What I don't like about that is both sides of the slot are covered with water from people's hands that have already used it before. And unless you're very precise, you're going to physically touch the sides that other people have touched.
There
are flaws to that system. Yeah, somebody didn't really think about that too well.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I guess I did put it. I can't remember if it was down or in, but it was this circular kind of thing. And I don't remember touching the sides of anything though. In fact, I was afraid maybe, you know, I shouldn't, but.
Listen, I get the idea that we need some alternative to paper towels, because if you are in a bathroom that only offers paper towels and there are no more paper towels, or the dispenser gets jammed or something, you're really out of luck completely.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got a blow dryer, it'll always get your hands sort of dry, I guess. So.
That's true. But I do like the fact that you have the paper towel to open the door to get out also, because the doorknob is probably full of germs. You might as well not even wash your hands.
We've talked about that before, and I totally agree with you. You do not, under any circumstances, want to touch a door handle in a public restroom. Call me crazy. Why don't they just make bathrooms without doors? Just call, like at the airport. You know, at the airport, you don't open a door to go to the bathroom.
I see what you're saying. Kind of go through like a snail.
A little snail so people can't see in. I don't know.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Am I complaining too much? Have you ever been to gone somewhere where the cleaning people have propped the door open so that the area where you dry your hands off is all visible to the people out in the mall or wherever you are? I feel very vulnerable washing my hands and looking out and seeing like children and ladies and old ladies walk by. It's just like creepy.
Bob,
I've got a lot of problems.
Next time you leave home, I want you to be sure, triple sure, put a note on the door to yourself and put an app on your smartphone.
Yeah.
Did I use the restroom before I left the house? I think it might be good. Time well spent.
Don't even trust the public restrooms.
That's
Well, that's a good place for us to end this today. Once again, it is time to wrap this thing up. You'll find the links for all the stories we discussed today on olderandwiser.com. All you got to do is click on the thing called The Survey Says. Just look
for
that.
And for all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus, visit olderandwiser.com. I'm Susan Sikora, along with Bob Bates, and we'll see you next time.